Dr. William Luther Pierce, 2001. Shocking Differences.
Hello. During the past couple of weeks, we've spoken a bit about the diversity being pushed so vigorously by the government and by the Jewish media. And I apparently made some irreverent remarks on this very sensitive topic, which greatly offended some of our more politically correct listeners, because I've received a number of letters from listeners who were practically in tears. The general tenor of these letters is, why can't we all just learn to get along with each other? We're really all the same. The only difference between us is skin color. Why is that so important to you? Why do you hate people just because they're from a different country? By coming here with their different customs, they enrich our lives, etc. Some of the letters were more on the weepy, hand-wringing side, and some were more on the belligerent, hateful side. But they were all written by folks who are distressed that I want to stop the flow of non-white immigrants into America, boot out the ones who are already here, and then hunt down and hang the people who arranged to bring them here. Some folks just can't understand why I want to do that. I must have spoken with a dozen interviewers for the mass media who asked me, what's wrong with multiculturalism? Why do you think it's bad? That's exactly what I was asked by a pretty young woman reporter for a German television news program last week. And I believe that she was sincere. She really didn't understand. That's the lemming factor. The girl wasn't stupid. It's just that her brain is wired in such a way that she is incapable of absorbing any information or reaching any conclusion that is politically incorrect. If multiculturalism and diversity were not promoted by the controlled mass media, if wanting to have a clean white America were still politically correct the way it was here, say, 50 years ago, and also the way it was in her country until 1945, then she would be able to understand perfectly well why multiculturalism is socially, culturally, and racially destructive. She would agree completely with me. But because it is unfashionable to understand such things now, she can't. And I don't mean that she doesn't want to understand. I mean that she can't understand. That's the way lemmings function. I've often thought about how we might rearrange the wiring in a lemming's brain and permit him or her to understand what is blocked out by the overwhelming compulsion to conform, to be fashionable. I've spoken in the past only half-jokingly about the oak table leg method of persuasion, about putting a lemming on a diet of 500 calories a day and beating him half to death with an oak table leg about once a day until he gets his thinking straightened out. That's the method the communists used in their so-called labor re-education camps, and it seems to have worked pretty well. It's also the method the Allies used on the German population after the Second World War to make them realize the error of their ways in supporting Hitler. Eventually, they had most of the Germans blaming Hitler for their suffering instead of the people who were raping, beating, looting, and starving them. Well, of course, I can't use trauma and privation as an educational method, but perhaps it is nevertheless possible to shock a lemming to his senses. I don't know, but it's something you might like to try for yourself. So, with that in mind, let's talk for a moment about the Chinese. The Chinese are a people with whom we are rapidly becoming more and more closely involved, both through trade and through immigration. And the properly conditioned lemming will tell you that there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. The Chinese, after all, are exactly like us, except that they speak a different language, are a little darker, and have slanted eyes. They add wonderfully to our diversity here. They enrich our culture by their presence. Well, actually, they're not quite like us. They have different customs, and those different customs come from a different way of looking at the world, a different attitude toward life. And that different attitude evolved over the course of thousands of generations of living in a different environment from the environment in which our ancestors lived. For example, the Chinese eat babies and see nothing wrong in it. And what they do to cats and dogs they get their hands on is too horrible, too sickening for me to describe here. What they do to cats and dogs is much worse than just eating them. But to get back to babies, I had heard reports from time to time about the Chinese custom of eating babies in the belief that it is an especially healthy thing to do. For a modern nuclear superpower, the Chinese have some strange ideas about health. These ideas have nearly wiped out a number of species of wild animals because of the insatiable Chinese demand for their body parts. Ground rhinoceros horn is in such demand that it has seriously threatened the rhinoceros with extinction. The same sort of demand exists for tiger penises and various bear parts. Human babies are harder to get for eating, and I imagine that there are laws in China about killing babies for that purpose. But there seems to be no law against eating aborted human fetuses. A number of hospitals in China which perform abortions sell the aborted fetuses for eating. The smaller fetuses are cooked in a soup. The late-term fetuses are eaten much more like roast suckling pig. The Chinese government, understandably, is a little bashful about having Western journalists publicize this sort of thing, just as it is bashful about having Western journalists film what the Chinese do to cats and dogs. Not to worry, though. Western journalists understand that it would be the worst kind of no-no to publish such information in the West. It might dampen the public's enthusiasm for more togetherness with the Chinese. Despite the effort on both sides to keep these peculiar customs of the Chinese from becoming better known in the West, information is available to the diligent seeker. I recently acquired photographs taken in a restaurant in China of a Chinese man eating what is quite plainly recognizable as a late-term human fetus. The photographs are shocking and disgusting to me, and I imagine that they also will be shocking and disgusting to the average American lemming. They won't be shocking to Chinese, of course. Eating fetuses is no more strange to them than, say, the habit of eating snails in garlic sauce is to a Frenchman. The significance I see in the Chinese habit of eating fetuses, even if only the wealthier Chinese can afford them, is more than simply a difference between us and the Chinese in culinary tastes or in ideas of what's healthy. A society which sees nothing wrong in eating babies, a race which finds this habit acceptable, is profoundly different from ours. The difference is far deeper than language or skin color or facial features. Now, I don't hate the Chinese because they aren't white. I don't hate them for being different. I don't even hate them because they see nothing wrong in eating aborted babies. That's their business. I do have stronger feelings about what they do to cats and dogs. And if I had the power to do so, I would depopulate China in order to put a stop to that. But if they want to eat Chinese fetuses, I don't care. So long as they do it in China, not here. But they will be doing it here if we permit the criminal insanity of multiculturalism to continue. And it won't be just Chinese who will be doing it. Think how much the customs and the morals of white Americans already have been changed under the influence of the multiculturalism we already have here. I'm not telling you that if more Chinese come to America, we'll all be eating babies. I believe that most of us, even our lemmings, will retain an instinctive block against that sort of thing. But the Chinese, nevertheless, will change our culture. More important, they will change our attitudes, our morals. If we have a lot of Chinese immigrants in America eating fetuses, you can bet your bottom dollar that any white American who publicly expresses his disgust, his disapproval of this habit, will be denounced by our Jewish media as a hater, a bigot, a racist, and so on. Christian preachers will be issuing a call for more tolerance. Politically ambitious prosecutors and police officials will announce to the media that they are looking into the possibility of filing hate speech charges against the white person who made the offensive remarks. You know that's what would happen because it's what already has been happening with other phases of the campaign to multiculturalize America. The lemmings adjust to it the same way a kettle full of frogs over a fire adjust to the gradually increasing temperature of the water. But at this time, the idea of eating babies probably will still shock most lemmings, just as taking a frog from a kettle of cold water and dropping him into a kettle of boiling water will shock the frog. Would you like to try it? Send me a 9-inch by 12-inch self-addressed envelope with 55 cents postage on it, and I'll send you two photographs, each approximately 8 by 10 inches in size. One is of a Chinese man in a restaurant in China carrying a plate with a large, late-term human fetus. The other photograph shows him sitting at a table and eating the dismembered fetus. The head of the fetus is still attached to the torso, and the features are clearly distinguishable. They are horrible, shocking, disgusting photographs. I'll send these photographs to you free if you send me your envelope with 55 cents postage on it and promise to show the photographs to other people and get them to listen to an American Distant Voices broadcast with you. I want to emphasize to you again, I don't hate Chinese because some of them in China eat babies and the rest of them think that's all right. I don't hate blacks because of some of the things they do in Africa that I find disgusting. That's their business, as long as they stay in China or in Africa, as the case may be. I just don't want them here. I don't want to see them. I don't want to hear them. I don't want to smell them. I don't want to hear liberals or Jews making excuses for them. I don't even want to think about them. Well, the Chinese are not the only exotic ingredient in America's multicultural stew. The Jews are a much more important exotic element because they wield so much more power in American society through their control of our mass media of news and entertainment. And there are people who will tell you, so what? What difference does it make if the Jews control Hollywood and television? They're just like us, except that they have a different religion. That is what the lemmings have been taught to believe about the Jews. But in fact, the Jews are as profoundly different from us as the Chinese are. And the difference consists in much more than the Jews' uncanny ability to accumulate money. The Jews, like the Chinese, have a fundamentally different way of looking at the world, and this difference is based in thousands of generations of separate evolution in a different environment. I'll give you just one example of this difference today. That is something I first noticed when I was a junior high school student in Dallas, Texas. The school I attended was in one of Dallas' wealthier suburbs, and there were a number of Jews in the school. What I and several of my classmates noticed about the Jews was their uniquely Jewish sense of humor. One doesn't expect much delicacy in the jokes told by 14-year-olds, of course. But the thing that made the jokes that appealed especially to the Jews stand out was their scatological content. Nearly every Jewish joke involved excrement in one way or another. As I said, this Jewish tendency was so pronounced that I and my Gentile classmates noticed it and commented on it, even though we didn't understand it. And it wasn't that we had an exceptionally large number of budding Howard Sterns among our Jewish classmates. The inclination toward scatology is a general Jewish characteristic. Jews themselves, including Jewish psychologists, have commented on this Jewish trait often, explaining it in terms of the collective Jewish experience throughout history. It is real, and it is quite noticeable. The Jews who control America's entertainment media are men who, as much as anything else, want to make money. They understand the need to keep their Jewishness from being too obvious in the entertainment they produce for Gentile consumption. At least, they used to understand that. But in the last decade or so, they've become a lot cockier, a lot bolder. They believe that they have such a tight grip on the minds and morals of the Gentiles now that they can do and say anything they want on the television screen without danger of a Gentile reaction. They believe that they now can let all of their Jewishness hang out. And I'm not talking just about the Howard Stern types. I'm talking about the ultra-rich and powerful mainstream media moguls. Jews such as Michael Eisner and Gerald Levin and Sumner Redstone. Sumner Redstone's MTV has been described by students of the media as the single most powerful influence on the attitudes and behavior of teenaged white girls. I don't watch MTV myself, and I suspect that most white parents of teenaged girls, even very liberal and trendy parents, also don't pay attention to what their daughters are being indoctrinated with by Sumner Redstone's MTV. An example of which I recently became aware was brought to my attention by the filing just last week of a lawsuit against MTV in Los Angeles Superior Court. Let me give you the details. 3 months ago, on January 21st, MTV was taping a pilot for a new show called Dude, This Sucks. Some teenage girls were visiting the studio during the taping. A studio employee instructed them to stand on the stage in a certain place for a part of the show in which a pair of performers known as the Shower Rangers were to go through their routine. The girls were not told what the performance would be or how they would be involved in it. The Shower Rangers were two men dressed in Boy Scout uniforms. They came on stage, turned their backs to the camera and to the teenage spectators on the stage, dropped their trousers, bent over, and let fly with a shower of semi-liquid feces, spattering the unsuspecting girls from head to foot. Apparently, they had dosed themselves with a powerful laxative prior to the performance. To Jews, including billionaire Jewish media moguls, like the owner of CBS and MTV, Sumner Redstone, this sort of thing is hilariously funny. It's their idea of humor. Unfortunately for MTV, however, the girls who were sprayed by MTV's Shower Rangers weren't amused, nor were their parents. Last week, two of the girls sued. One of them told the court, quote, "We were having a good time until the second act of Dude, This Sucks went on. All of a sudden, I was smelling something disgusting, and I started to gag. I looked around at my friends. They were covered in something. As I looked down at myself, I realized that I was too." End quote. Another of the plaintiffs, 14-year-old Kelly Slope, spoke of the humiliation the girls felt when they returned to school. Quote, everyone knew about it, even some of the teachers. Most of the kids were cracking jokes or wouldn't come near us because even though we washed off the feces, they said we smelled. I will never, ever forget what a horrible experience this was. End of quote. The girl's lawsuit charges MTV with infliction of emotional distress, negligence, and battery. I would charge MTV and Sumner Redstone with much more than that. I would charge Mr. Redstone and his fellow Jews with a deliberate effort to degrade white culture, white standards, white morality. I would charge them with attempting to destroy all traditional ideas in young people's minds of what is right and just and noble and beautiful, and replace those traditional ideas and values with a Jewish concoction of filth and degeneracy designed to make our young people accept a Jew-dominated, multicultural, pigsty society. And in my book, that's a hanging offense. And I assure you that when the time for hanging comes, it will not be just this one incident with the shower arrangers which leaves Sumner Redstone and all of his kosher crew dancing on air. This incident is merely an illustration of a general pattern of behavior over a long period of time. I chose this illustration not just because it is current, but because it is a matter of court record. You can verify all the details for yourself. You certainly won't get those details from the other Jewish media. I also chose this incident because it cannot be written off as an aberration, like some piece of Howard Stern scatology. Sumner Redstone is a mainstream Jew, one of the wealthiest, most powerful, and most influential Jews in the world. He is a leader of the Jews, a Jew to whom nearly all the other Jews look up. No one can call him an aberration. He is the essence of Jewish influence on our society. He is a Jew who is welcomed with open arms at the White House, regardless of whether a Democrat or a Republican is in residence. He believes that what teenaged white girls need is more exposure to the shower rangers. That will loosen them up, make them more open-minded, prepare them for sex with black boys. And if you've been paying any attention at all to the trends in entertainment for teens, you'll understand that there's nothing exceptional about the shower rangers. They are just one more step in the direction the Jews have been going all along. Not just Sumner Redstone, but all of them, from the time they first began taking over control of our entertainment media. In the 1930s, Gentile leaders, most of them Christians, were able to threaten Jews effectively with boycotts if they violated standards of decency. One of the most effective leaders of this effort was Joseph Breen, who helped establish the Production Code for Hollywood in 1934. Breen knew exactly what he was up against. Of Jewish filmmakers, Breen wrote in 1932, and I quote, "These lousy Jews are simply a vile bunch of people with no respect for anything but the making of money. These Jews seem to think of nothing but money-making and sexual indulgence. They are the men and women who decide what the film fair of the nation is to be." End quote. The production code constrained the Jews for a couple of decades, but with the advent of television, the Jews gained far more influence over public attitudes and behavior than the churches had. The Jews could safely ignore the code, and in the 1960s, they began pushing again in the same direction Sumner Redstone is still pushing with the shower rangers. So you see, Jews really are different. They're not just like us any more than the Chinese are. And let me tell you something. I and a lot of other white Americans have had just about as much of the Chinese and the Jews and the blacks and the rest of the multicultural filth here as we will tolerate. We've been pushed about as far as we're willing to let ourselves be pushed. We want our country back, and we intend to take it back. And if a lot of soccer moms and yuppies and politically correct journalists who can't understand that get in the way, they're going to be hurt. Thanks for being with me again today.